Welcome to the Responsible Management Podcast from the University of Bradford School of Management. My name is David Spicer. I'm the school's Director of Business and Community Engagement. I'm delighted to be hosting the podcast again. Slight difference to the podcast today from our usual format. That's because it's a special edition linked to our annual lecture this year. And I'm delighted to be welcoming Dr. Andrea Cullen, who's going to be talking about the threat from cyber, kind of essentially. So Andrea is an alumnus of the University of Bradford and the CEO and co-founder of Caps Lock, which they started in 2019. And I'm sure she'll say a little bit more about that as we go. Over 20 years of experience of kind of cyber and the challenges that creates for business. The first question really is, what is cyber? What are we talking about here?
Yeah, what is cyber? That's probably, I could spend like the whole 40 minutes chatting about what is cyber. I think initially there was a real focus in terms of cyber around the technology, but actually it's bigger than that. In terms of for a business, it's about helping to keep a business safe and secure, and that encompasses lots of different things. So it's a really, really broad topic, including technology, obviously, but also the people and the process elements of how you secure businesses against attack.
Yes, I guess this is, in my head, you think about cyber attacks. It's your kind of Nigerian princes, isn't it? It's horrible to get that horrible trope out of the way kind of early on. But I guess, yeah, the challenge for business and challenge generally is got a lot more sophisticated over time.
Yeah, absolutely. That's where it started, that look at that terribly written email that asked you to deposit a certain amount of money into a bank account. And absolutely, it's much, much more sophisticated than that. But cyber isn't just about intentional attack either. It's about the mistakes that people might make or things that might happen that just might make a business vulnerable. The attacks themselves have become much more sophisticated. And I guess that imbalance between an attack and defence scenario is an attacker, no matter what their background, just needs to find one vulnerability. In terms of getting an effective defensive strategy, you've got to find every potential hole and plug that hole. So it's a real difficult thing to do. So the cyber landscape, has massively changed, in particular over the last 5 years or so.
Brilliant. So it's about keeping not just the business, but processes, the people you work with, your clients, your customers, your employees, safe in the kind of digital world. Our focus is responsible management. So there's a clear responsibility there in terms of how businesses look after the environment and the people within it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's about absolutely a business's information assets or critical assets, but it's also about a business's people as well. And that safety and security encompasses just about everything that a business is about. And it's easy when you look at some of the really big breaches and big losses that businesses have sustained, it can be absolutely business critical. So I think more and more we're seeing it lifted up, that agenda, and being part of the C-suite and part of the important decision making is actually how do we make sure we ensure our environment is safe and secure.
And we've seen some ransomware, haven't we? I forget which university it was a couple of years ago, right at the point they were registering students, they were locked out of all of their own systems. It felt like forever. It was probably only about 10 days.
Yeah.
But in that environment, it's a huge issue.
Yeah, I think we forget, you know, until something's not available, just how much of our everyday activities online. Somebody takes your ability to log in away from you. It's about, what do I do now? Literally, you kind of feel like you've got nothing left. And it's not a mistake that happens at a critical time for an organisation. People understand when the important times are, and that's the time they're going to, if they want to cause chaos, that's the best time for somebody to look at doing just that.
So what are the threats that are out there? What are the kinds of things that businesses need to be looking out for and watching for?
Yeah, you need eyes in the back of your head for this one. There are absolutely a myriad of different styles of attacks, but I guess some of the key ones you've already mentioned, actually, one of those, ransomware. It's on a lot of people's agenda. And that's because one of the key things really is availability of assets. And what ransomware looks to do is remove that availability. So it might not remove the asset itself, but it stops you being able to access it. And that might be just by simply locking a file or a system, or it might be that something's encrypted. So ransomware certainly was one of those things. I guess one of the biggest in terms of volume is phishing. That's still a problem. That's been around since that really badly written email emerged some 20 years ago. But those are much more sophisticated now, and they are much better at reaching and kind of enticing a target to do something they shouldn't. So fishing again is a big thing. I guess those two, if I had to say, where would you focus, it'd be those. But I guess one of the more emergent attacks is using deepfakes, really, and looking at how you might, and it is about realism, how you might make something much more realistic by using some of the technology to generate that attack.
Brilliant. Yeah, deepfakes is an interesting one, isn't it, in terms of the impact of that, and potentially not just in terms of the impact on the recipient, but reputational impact or the impact on whoever's being fake-minded in terms of some of the examples you've got in the lecture this afternoon. Yeah, how convincing those can be. What are the kind of things that businesses need to be looking for to kind of address those kind of challenges, to spot the fakes, as it were?
Yeah, you're right when you talk about that damaged reputation, and that can be done in so many different ways. And it's one of those things where it's really difficult to unscramble an egg. Even if you've seen something and it's not an authentic or trusted version of that, you can't unsee it. So trust can be really critically eroded, even if you know deep down that that's been developed and it's not real. You still can't kind of unsee it. I guess in terms of businesses, what are they looking out for? There's a huge depends on this one. There's attacks that have been developed that use, I guess, three key things. It's using audio, video, or a static image. And those can be used and manipulated to look so realistic that anything that uses that, it's questioning that authentic nature of what it is that, you know, somebody is sharing with you. I'll give you an example. If you see a video of a politician, pretty apt today, isn't it, with the news about the US election, but if you see a politician delivering a speech, it might be so realistic that actually you believe everything that's said within that speech, but actually it's a matter of going and looking at the source of that. In true academic style, has it come from a legitimate source? Not only does it look legitimate, actually, where has it come from? How do you authenticate it? So it's a matter of looking past using a visual cue or an audio cue as a way of authenticating something, because we know it can be manipulated. It's, can you look beyond that to the source or some third-party verification that will tell you this is or isn't accurate? So I guess that's one of the key things. Businesses talk a lot about how you might train somebody to spot a phishing attack or train somebody to spot a deep fake. And there are certain things you can do with that when you're looking at it. But quite often, when somebody's in the moment trying to do their job, the last thing they're thinking about is this fake? So that only goes so far, really.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I'm sort of putting it into my head and processing it through the lens of somebody that teaches organisation studies and teaches about behaviour in the workplace. And we talk about perception. And we talk about perceptual processes and actually how important it is to be aware of your perceptual process because of the shortcuts that can make you take and lead to faults in decision-making. I guess that's a big part of this as well, isn't it?
Massive, absolutely massive. And it's interesting you say that because perception, as you know, has a much bigger influence on your behaviour than reality does. So if you perceive something to be real, you're going to behave as if it was, even though you kind of know it might not be. So absolutely, when you're looking at anything that involves trickery of this kind, it's usually allied to social engineering, and that's all about manipulating somebody to do something that they otherwise wouldn't do.
Yeah, I nearly got caught fairly recently. I had what purported to be an email from a regular friend and contact. I responded to that email because it was a slightly unusual email with, "Are you all right?" and immediately got a response back. And then my brain kicked in and went, hang on a sec, David. This isn't the kind of interaction you would normally have with this person.
Yeah, which kind of builds the second part of this, really, because when something like that happens, you end up feeling like you're the fool. Like, how could I have been taken in? I should have realised this wasn't illegitimate. I should have looked beyond that. But I guess another element to this is a business looking at what they do about that. And this is a cultural aspect to it, really. So if you're making it okay for somebody to make a mistake, or okay for somebody to actually come to actually tell you they've clicked on something or they've read something or done something, that cultural element, that cultural shift can mean that a business ends up being a lot more secure because you're making it okay and open and safe for people to report these kinds of things.
Yeah, so you talk in the lecture about people, process and technology. So I guess we're talking about the people part of that, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And the training is one element of it. So how can you give people the basics and make sure actually that to some extent they've got those basic knowledge at the point they're going to need it? So it's that muscle memory that kicks in. that says, when I'm doing this, for example, this is what I must do to check it's authentic, or don't ever click on a link in an email. So there might be a few basics you can help people with. But probably more important than that is that cultural shift of actually creating that environment where security is at both everybody's responsibility, and actually it's okay to be able to report something that isn't right and to feel safe to be able to do that in a business. You're not going to get penalised or put down for it. And I guess, like most cultural shifts in a business, key to that is leadership. And that leadership can be the success or failure of any culture project within a business when we're speaking about cyber specifically.
I'm just cutting into the podcast to tell you a little bit about the offer that we have for businesses locally as part of the business and community engagement support. We have our Knowledge Transfer Network, that's regular networking events where you can come on campus, meet like-minded people, hear from some of our and leading industry experts. We have our Bradford Business Challenge projects, where we have students coming out and working with you and supporting the work that you do. We have our consultancy clinic, where we have students delivering on short-term small projects for businesses as well. There's also lots of ways that you can engage with and interact with our students as guest lecturers, as mentors on some of our entrepreneurship programs, and through involvement in the curriculum. And equally, from a research perspective, we can work with you on collaborative research. If you think there's something we can help with, please reach out to us at BACE, that's base BACE, at bradford.ac.uk. Thank you, and now back to the podcast. So having that culture, environment, supporting people to look at it mindfully and look in the right way and not to punish the odd mistake absolutely kind of makes sense. So what about the processes? I guess that's about underpinning that kind of culture in the right kind of way.
Yeah, and to some extent, that process is about taking the responsibility away from people. So if you've got a secure process, banks have done this for a long time, haven't they? When they look at being able to verify a transaction where it's split between two people. So one person's verifying that the other part has been done accurately. So it's designing processes with security in mind that takes some of the responsibility away from the person to be able to remember or do a certain task. Actually, if you follow this process, it should make that more secure, whatever activity it is you're doing. As well as kind of designing that process, it's making sure you're auditing and checking what you've done. So being able to verify, actually, have we done what we said we'd do? It's a whole cycle, really, of not totally relying on people, but building processes and putting them in place. That means if people follow those, the whole thing's going to be just that bit more secure.
Brilliant. And I guess it is that audit piece. There's a learning piece there as well, isn't there? So that if and when, God forbid, touch wood, an attack does happen, that you learn the experience of that and improve for the next time.
You get better next time. And that is the other big shift, I think, in a lot of businesses at the minute, is taking it away from trying to stop every perceivable attack to actually getting to the point of thinking, this is going to happen, and what do we do when it does? So that shift around the end game is stopping it. No, it isn't. The end game really is recovering from it when it happens, not if.
Just to finish the three pieces off, so the technology piece in that regard, that's presumably about, in my simplistic head, it's up to date, your protections are up to date, you've got the kind of the right systems and support in place.
Yeah, absolutely. It's making sure you've got the technology in place where you need it. And there are some must-haves, you know, things around if you're looking at authentication and actually saying, is that person who they say they are? You might look at multi-factor authentication. You might be looking at other technologies that business apply. But the key thing here quite often is understanding why you've got a specific technology rather than throwing everything at it. And quite often technologies come out and people think, I must have that, without even saying, do I need it? Does it make sense?
Yeah, so a bit of selective business case in simple terms. I'm struck by one of the phrases you use in the lecture as well is about adopting a resilience mindset. Mm-hmm. So I think I know, but I'd like to unpick that with you. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, do you know what? Somebody put this really well last week when I was listening to them speak around this, and they were saying actually a ship is safest in its harbour, but that's not what it's designed for. Maybe it's about expecting it's going to be out and in a vulnerable space, but how do you generate a resilient mindset that means you expect something to happen, and actually, should it happen, you've got things in place to be able to recover effectively. So it's that whole the initial, whether that attack has taken place, how you actually become more resilient as a business and put things in place to make sure that you are as defended as you possibly can, that you understand that you can carry out your business in a way it's meant to be carried out. But should something happen, you've actually got things in place to recover.
And that kind of brings me back to the learning point as well, doesn't it? Because in a different context, admittedly, the work that I've done on resilience, one of the key things that supports future resilience is learning from past mm-hmm. incidents. Mm-hmm. So if we've learned from that experience, the next time something problematic happens, mm-hmm. we're much better off being able to cope in a better place.
And we all, no matter what it is, learn best from the problems that have happened. When mistakes have either been made or when there's been, in this instance, an attack or a vulnerability that's been exploited, you're going to learn way more from that than everything that goes right. I think it's just human nature.
Brilliant. So that educational piece and that understanding is key, which is possibly a clumsy segue, but tell us a bit about Caps Lock. What do you do in the business mm-hmm. to help with that?
Primarily, we are a reskilling organisation. So we look at taking people from any background and moving them into cybersecurity roles. And that's key to us is actually the development of skills. So it's not a knowledge activity, it's a skills development activity. But we work with businesses really to get them the resource they need at the time they need it. So we've got a couple of key models that we work with to be able to do that. One is reskilling their internal staff. So we've worked with big organisations who might have employees who need to develop their skills. We work to help them do that.
And that's obviously very impactful. You started in 2019. It's been amazing, hasn't it?
It's been incredible. Do you know what the best bit is, though? Watching people change their lives, watching people who have potentially been a taxi driver or a chef or a dancer or a music teacher or a solicitor or whoever they've been in the past actually change their lives and go on to have sustainable, incredible careers. And that is without doubt the best bit.
For a business audience, that's the Responsible Management Podcast is for our, largely for our SME mm-hmm. kind of audience out there. What are the kind of the key things that they should be looking at? If you're a small firm, if you're sleepless nights or concerned about the risk of attack, what are the key things that you should be looking at and thinking about?
Yeah, I would say, first of all, don't think you're alone. Everybody's worrying about the same things and nobody's got it sorted, really. Just people might be further along the journey than others. I would say build that resilience and response. Expect an attack and work out how you would deal with it. If you're looking at the fire service, for example, they wouldn't look to fight a fire the first time it happened. Actually, they'd practice, they'd develop things and they'd make sure they were in place. So resilience, definitely. It's understanding your risk. You know, not everything is the same. You'll have critical assets, key information assets as well. And it's understanding the risk to those and reducing that risk as far as you possibly can. Cyber essentials and things like that can be great, getting a baseline. I guess the other thing is it's good to keep an eye on upcoming attacks and upcoming kind of developments in the sector, but you can't be ahead of everything. So I would expect the worst, prepare for the worst and see that you're absolutely not alone.
Wow, that was a bit of, I use the phrase quite a lot, pessimistic planning.
Yeah.
If you've prepared definitely. For the worst case, it doesn't usually happen, mm-hmm. but when something comes up, it's not as bad as you've prepared
absolutely.
For. Yeah, it's part of that kind of resilience piece as well. That's kind of really great. I guess the kind of the major point takeaway is that businesses need just to be aware of this, not frightened mm-hmm. of it, mm-hmm. and kind of taking that kind of mindset of, what can we do to minimise risk rather than control it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The only way, it takes it back to that analogy of a ship being the safest in its harbour. You want to be super safe, disconnect from everything and don't speak to anybody, but actually you're not doing your job. If you're going to do it, there's going to be an element of risk in it. It's about reducing that as much as you can.
That's great, Andrew. Thank you. Final question. We ask all of our contributors this. Who's your management hero? That can be personal or professional. Mm-hmm. It can be somebody that you've admired from afar or close to. Who's that person that's had an influence on you?
I'd have to say, actually, without sounding like the cheesiest person on the planet, my management hero would have to be my wife and co-founder for tons of reasons, because when I look at people and their backgrounds, where they've come from, how they've got to where they've got and how they continue to develop, she'd be the absolute epitome of actually striving to do it better all the time.
That's brilliant, Andrea. Thank you very much. It's a great session. There's some kind of great insights there. And we hope you found this useful, folks. So thank you.
if you've got a project that you'd love to get done, but you're struggling with the time and resources to do that, that's something that we can help you with. Bradford Business Challenge projects are where we get our students to do, as part of their dissertation, a piece of applied management work for a business like yourself. Either one of our final year undergraduate or MSc students, with the support of an academic mentor, will be able to work on that project for you. There's no cost for you as a business. All we ask for you is to set up with us that project, give us a kind of outline brief that the student will go away and work into a full proposal for you, and then you'll be meeting and liaising with them and their academic advisor to get that project delivered. Because we have multiple students doing these over the course of the year, there's usually a group of students looking for any project at one time. So if that's something that you're interested in and you'd like to know more about, please reach out to us at BACE, base@bradford.ac.uk.